Hi everyone. Who of you have ever run OpenWRT on your Linksys machines? Oh, well, me of course. Yeah, so you're going to meet one of the OpenWRT developers, so maybe you want to express some thanks for this. Yeah, right. Express some gratitude, that was the word I was looking for. So anyway, from Zagreb, here is Luka Parkov, who's going to talk about, as you can see, the ISP's black boxes. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to ISP's black box presentation. As you might know, ISPs have many black boxes. I'm going to talk about one of them today. So it will be about protocol CWMP. So first we will cover some theory, and then I will tell you about the software that we have made. So I like to hack embedded devices, and I am one of the OpenWRT developers. So CWMP. It was originally named. It was originally started on DSL forum in 1994. Now it's renamed to Broadband Forum. It has around 300 members, mostly equipment vendors and ISPs. This talk is about CWMP. This is the protocol for remote management of CPEs, aka your home routers. So let's first cover a few terms. We have CPE, that's customer premises equipment, your home router. CWMP is CPE-1 management protocol. ACS is the auto configuration server. So CP is the CWMP client, and ACS is CWMP server. And I don't know if you are familiar with the term provisioning. It's the process of CP configuration. So why? First question. It's easy if you need to manage 1, 2, 10, maybe 100 devices, but how do you manage 10,000, 100,000, or 1 million or more? This is the problems that ISPs have to solve. Also, maybe you could do it on some hackish way if you have only one vendor, but what about when you have many vendors and situation where each of them has their own protocol? Also, when you are ISP, you want to give certain you want to give information to each service levels. So for first service level, the call center, you want them, for example, to only view the wireless configuration and to be able to change that. For the second level, you want to give them more information, more access, and so on. So this is why it's good to have protocol like CWMP, because you force the vendors to use the same thing. So questions for audience. Can you replace your CPE? I'm guessing that most of you have internet at home, right? Who has internet at home? So who of you has a CPE that was provided by ISP? Okay, great. So do you have credentials for this CPE? For example, how do you connect to the PPP, or if you have CPE? Do you have credentials for this? Okay. Okay, some of you have. Did you hack it, or did ISP provide this information So you can manually enter data in the CPE. Those of you who raised hands earlier. So you ISP gave you this information, right? Okay. Those of you who don't have this information, when ISP connects new user, do they just need to plug the CPE into the network and everything works out of the box? Okay, I see a few hands. Okay, so if you cannot replace your CPE and provisioning happens automatically, then your ISP is using something like CWMP, most likely CWMP. Okay, so what is CWMP? It's bidirectional SOAP HTTP protocol. All the communication is done in XML. There, this TR, this is a technical report. Okay, so there are around 20 technical reports. Some of them contain data from others, but most of them are different. There are a lot of objects and parameters. So what are objects and parameters? Objects contain parameters. Objects end with a dot. That is how you can easily recognize them. In parameters are stored values, and you can view or change the values. This object device management server, this is taken from tier 181, but it's mostly the same like in tier 069. It's only called Internet Gateway Device Management Server. This object contains parameters for ACS and for CWMP. I will cover this in more details when I come to the demo. Okay. So, why do we use CWMP? So, ISP can reboot, factory reset, flash new firmware, save and restore configuration. For example, you can have CPE from one vendor, and let's say it gets broken, and you connect totally different CPE, and you can have all the same configuration for your wireless home network provision backed to this new CPE, even though it's from a different vendor. You can create or delete objects. For example, you can add new PPP connection, new wireless SSID. You can get or set parameter values. So this is mostly used for provisioning credentials for your SIP PPP accounts. You can also get or set parameter attributes. For example, there are objects for your external IP address. So you can send notifications to the ACS when one of them changes. So things like that. So what you can actually do, you can provision PPP and SIP credentials. You can change configurations for DNS, DHCP. You can get or set wireless settings, so keys, SSIDs. You can also change routing and firewall and QoS and many other things. But in 99% of the cases, you almost always just set PPP and SIP. Okay, so CP, that's a CWMP client. Okay. CP always connects to the ACS. So only then it can be provisioned. You cannot connect. When you connect to the CP, it connects back to the ACS. So if you are going to do some security research, this is something you should know. CP can connect on various events, on events like reboot, factory reset, also on, you can set periodic inform interval, or after receiving a connection request from the ACS. It connects to the HTTP or HTTPS URL. It also listens on a certain port, and the ACS usually has to have username and password for this. Object for this is device info. Star is here because on TR 069 it's internet gateway device. Okay, we will also see this in the demo. ACS. ACS can configure or get status from CP, so it's the central point which manages all CPs. It basically waits until CP connects to the ACS. So, for example, after a factory reset, CP connects to the ACS, and then it gets provisioned. This ACS defined parameters are in object management server object, in the device management server object. So, how can you find your URL for your ACS? You could do it by the book, okay? So you can look at the TR 069 specification on page 14. You can see that ACS URL can be provided in DHCP option 43. Often the ISPs have separate interface for management. So if you use DSL, you will have to find your PVC settings for that one. Or you can hack the CPE. You can look into the firmware image or somehow enter the root shell and search for this parameter. Okay, so this is something that you will have to know in order to access the ACS. So how does the communication look like? This is the longest one, okay? It can be shorter, okay? So let's say the ACS wants to change or get some parameter. It will initiate the connection request. After that, CP will contact the ACS on its already configured URL. ACS will reply with inform message response. Then CP will send empty post message. In CWMP, empty post message means that the party that sends it has nothing to say. So ACS can send empty reply, or it can send a 204 no content message. Okay, so ACS replies, for example, with set parameter values request message. Okay, and after that, CP sends set parameters value response. And if that is all that ACS wanted to do, it will reply without content, so either without content or it will send 204 response. Okay, so this is how This is part of the XML message that CP sends. So you can see here. Okay. This part is different for every vendor. Okay. So you have a manufacturer field, OI field, product class, and serial number. So ACS uses this information to recognize users and to recognize which CP is installed on the customer's location. Okay. So also CP can send, it sends a reason why it connected to the ACS. For example, bootstrap, it means it is first connection to the ACS. There are few events. For example, boot change value, and so on. Okay, this is the same message but continued. Okay, so you have time. You have retry count. It's a number. How many times CP tried to connect to the ACS, but it failed. And on the next slide, I have a list of the parameters that are needed for this inform message. I did not find this in the documentation, but looking at the captures and making it work with several ACS servers, I found this to be working every time. Okay, so IGD is Internet Gateway Device. It wouldn't fit, so I made it shorter. Okay, so it has to send the parameter manufacturer. Manufacturer OY is the first part of the MAC address, also product class, serial number, hardware version, software version. Provisioning code and parameter key can be empty values. And also it sends connection request URL. It's URL on the CPE on which ACS connects when it wants CPE to send inform message. And also you have external IP address. It's parameter where it's written the IP address of usually the separate interface for provisioning. Okay, so when ACS wants to set parameter, this is how it's done. Okay, basically you just put in this area the name of the parameter and then value that you want to change, and then also you can put here as many as you want parameters, but all the parameters must be set. I mean, this must be atomic. Either all of them are set or neither of them is. And if everything goes okay, CP responds with message like this. It says, okay, everything is fine. Forget parameter values. Message looks like this. ACS puts the parameter or object in this area. So if you put object in this message, CP should send you a list of all parameters that are contained in this object, and if you have another object in this object, you will receive all the parameters from all the objects inside this parameter. Okay. This is how the message response look like for the get parameter values. Okay, so you put here the parameter name and its value. So if you have put object in the previous message, You will have here a list of names and values. Okay. So if you want to reboot, for example, CPE, message looks like this, and for factory reset, it looks like this. Okay. So shortly, that was about the protocol. So what I have been doing, and other guys, is that we have been coding a client, and recently I have coded a proxy for a proxy module for Nginx, and I have started working on FreeACSNG, which is ACS server. All the code is GPL version 2 licensed, and you can get it on via Git. You can find more information on the web page. Okay, so libfreeCWMP, it's a library where we put all of the shared code. At the moment it's pretty small, but it will grow. It's around 200 lines of C. So FreeCWMP, it's a CWMP client for OpenWRT, but you can use it on other devices if you want. It uses mostly the libraries from OpenWRT, which are mostly for NBD. It's right here. Okay, so we have UC for configuration. We have libubox and ubus for RPC calls. I have also forked a mini XML library and called it micro XML. Basically, I needed to do some code that was not in this library, and it took forever to get it merged, so I just forked it and trimmed it a little bit. Okay, and you can use curl or ZStream for HTTP related stuff. ZStream is a bit smaller, but it has some problems on certain ACS servers which use HTTPS. Okay, also you have to use libfreeCWMP, and for the scripts part of the FreeCWMP, you have to use shflex. FreeCWMP is divided in two parts. Okay, so you have FreeCWMP core, which is coded in C. Okay, it's in charge of all the communication with the ACS server, and it offloads all the parameter related stuff to the scripts, because if you want to provision, for example, Asterisk or some other SIP client, you will need to do it differently, because the configuration for this software is not the same. So this is the easiest way to do it. If you have some other, let's say, SIP client, you just write a simple script that will handle the SIP username and SIP password and set it correctly into a file, and if you need, you can reboot your client. FreeCWMP core uses only a few parameters. For example, one of them are the values for contacting ACS after a certain amount of time. Okay, so in FreeCWMP, you have number of scripts that integrate various tier protocols, okay, let's call it that way. There is still work to be done in this area. Some of the work involves reworking scripts that I have coded in the early beginnings, but now they are more evolved, so they could use some refactoring. Free CWMP scripts must be compatible with default OpenWRT BusyBox shell, and the ones that are in Git repository are modular, and you can extend them pretty easy to do whatever you want. Okay. So mod CWMP, it's Nginx proxy module for CWMP protocol. It depends on Nginx, obviously, and I have decided to use libxml2 because it has much more features, but we did not use that one in free CWMP because it was too big for embedded device. Okay, so you might be thinking, why would you code a proxy? Well, you get out of the box load balancing, so you can have a farm of ACS servers in the back. Also, you can use it as a caching proxy. For example, if you upgrade firmwares over the night, so no need to send traffic to the ACS if Nginx can handle it. Also, there are some, I have called this protocol optimizer features. For example, most of the ACSs require that CP sends a username and password in HTTP request, okay? But most of them don't do it right away, so we don't need to send this message to the ACS, but Nginx sends a request for authentication. Most interesting one is not published. It's called Message Inspector, so there is a reason why you should look into each XML message that CP sends and reject it if you have to. Okay, so how does it work? Okay, I'm using internal redirection feature of Nginx, so you basically define approved and rejected location. So in approved location, you just send traffic to the upstream ACS server, and in rejected location, you want to log why did the request from CP end there. And I also added code in Nginx, so it sends a factory reset to the CP. So if message is flagged as bad, it will be redirected to rejected location, otherwise it will be redirected to approved location. Okay. And the last thing, software related, is the free ACS NG. It's auto configuration server. It's under development, and don't use it in about a month or two. Basically, it depends on CNetString. It's the code from Andre. It uses libevent, libxml2. It also uses RabbitMQC, UC for configuration, and libfree CWMP. Okay, so how does it actually work? So it's SCGI server. So we do not need to reinvent the wheel and code our own HTTP server. And the thing is that when you are ISP, you have your data in various databases, and you cannot find two ISPs that are similar. Okay, So in a way, how they store their data internally, and you want to give ISP full control and more flexibility in a way that they can provision their CP devices. So I have decided to use advanced messaging queuing protocol for this. What this basically is, in a few words, you can define exchanges and queues. You send messages to the exchange, and it based on the rules, it can end up in various queues. And free ACSNG can send and pick messages from the queue, and the backend in ISP can pick and send messages to the queue for the SES. So at the moment, workflow is something like this. Free ACSNG receives informed connection message from CPE and sends the message to the backend AMQP. Provisioning backend then will pick up this message and will do some magic, right? It will collect the data it needs to collect and send it to another queue. Free ACSNG will kick the CPE. I mean, it will order CPE to connect back to the ACS. Then CPE connects to the ACS, and free ACSNG will see that there is message in the queue, and it will provision the CPE. Okay. So at the moment, free ACSNG, if there is anything in the queue, it will only send a reboot command. Otherwise, it will reply with no content. Okay. So on my to-do list is to define how these exchanges and queues should work together. What is find the best way to do this? Also, code basic provisioning backend in a few languages. This is also one of the reasons why I have this decided to go with this design, because why limit a customer or ISP which language it should use? If they want to use Python, they should use Python. If they want to use Java, they can use Java. And also, I need to code the connection requester. Okay, so I think now is time for a demo. Okay, so I will first cover the Nginx. Do you see this? Is this okay? Okay. Okay, this is some generic stuff, how to log. Okay. Here is defined the upstream ACS server. In our case, it's free ACSNG. It's listening on port 8000. On port 7000, we have a proxy module. Okay. Okay. So it's listening on this location. Okay, so we have defined approved and rejected strings. Okay, we also force CP to only match this root URI, because of you want to limit CP in probing the ACS, and this is how you do the URI limiting, and you can also limit arguments. And we are forcing the CP to send username and password. Okay. So if everything goes well in here, it will be internally redirected to this location. Okay. And then we just pass this request back to the upstream proxy, this one, okay. And if it's rejected, we will send a factory reset and we will log the full message from the CPE. So later we can figure out why it was rejected, okay. And on the server, another Nginx server, okay, is listening on 8000 port. This is SCI client, okay, so we define some parameters, okay, and we call SCI server, which is listening on port 9000, and this is actually free ACSNG, okay. At the moment, there is nothing much in the configuration file, okay. You just define on which address and port you need to listen on, define the stuff for AMQP, okay. And this I still need to finish and document properly, but at the moment it's not used. Okay, so let's start the server. And we have free CWMP. Okay, so we have few sections. Okay, so we have first this local section. Okay, we define interface, management interface, where it listens to. Default port for CWMP is 7547. Okay, and you can list events for the reason why CP is contacting ACS. This bootstrap event is deleted after the first successful connection. Okay, so you also need to define stuff for the ACS. Also, you need to do the device configuration, okay. And this is how you list the scripts, okay. So you have a list location where you load the list, the scripts, and then you have generic functions for get and set, and I don't know, maybe some other stuff. For functions for getting and setting parameters, okay, and you can also define parameters, okay. So I have defined here Internet Gateway Device Manager Server periodic inform enabled to one, okay. So periodic inform is enabled, and set it also to value 10. So every 10 seconds, free CWMP will connect to the ACS. Okay, so let's run it. Okay, it loads, it waits for a few seconds, connects to the ACS, and since nothing is in the queue, we have received empty messages from the ACS. Okay, so now it goes again. You can also view what's happening in the log. Okay. Now let's put something in the queue. 1 second. Okay. So now when the CWMP connects again. Okay. So it tried to reboot the machine, but I'm not running it as a root, so it failed. And also. What I want to use in free CWMP is to better integration with UBUS. It's the right pronunciation, UBUS. Yeah, okay. So I want to pass all parameters from the scripts and also send parameters to the scripts via UBUS. So for example. This is how we can trigger inform requests for bootstrap. Okay, so we can see it in log. I'm going to stop it. Okay. Okay. So this is this line. So yeah, that's it. So if you want to get into it, best way would be to either configure it with production ACS or use free ACS if you don't have an alternative. Okay. Here is a list of links of these projects. And the first one is the official Broadband Forum CWMP documentation. Okay. And you can find us on Freenode, free CWMP channel, or you can send email to the mailing list, and this last one is my email if you want to get in touch with me. Yeah, okay, thank you.
So, we have time for a couple of questions. Please be considerate of the people who are on the streams out there and use the microphones there. And you can also just raise your hand and our nice audio angels will bring the microphone to you. If you think you have to leave, please be considerate of the people who want to listen to the Q&A and try to be quiet and don't talk until you're outside. Thanks. So any questions?
You mentioned that it is a bidirectional HTTP connection between the client and the ACS server. So I wonder how you manage to make it through the proxy. Is it in the reverse direction from the ACS server to the client? Does it also go through the proxy?
It goes through the proxy.
And how does the proxy know where to connect? Does the ACS server tell him?
I don't know. It's classic Nginx proxy feature.
In both directions?
Yeah. So ACS server sees Nginx proxy as a client and replies to the Nginx, and then Nginx, once it gets the response, sends to the original client CP response.
But you mentioned that also the ACS server can open a connection to the client.
That doesn't go through the proxy. You can connect to the CP as long as you have network connection to it, so that part does not go through the proxy.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay. First of all, thank you for your talk. And have you looked at real life examples of this traffic? And do you know if there's you mentioned that you can use HTTPS, but you don't have to. How's that used in practice? Do ISPs use the security features, or is it always open?
Well, it depends on the ISP if they want to use HTTPS or not. Some ISPs use it, some don't, and this is why I know that the stream does not work with HTTPS on some ACS servers. So does this answer your question?
Yeah, and the ISP talking back to my CPE, does that always or can that include HTTPS, or is that?
Yes, I'm not sure. I think it's defined in documentation that CP can also have HTTPS, but you have 1 million CPs. How will you know all the certificates and everything, you know? And only thing that this does is kicks the CP to connect to the ACS. So you don't really need to have HTTPS here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hi, thanks as well for your work. I was wondering on the terms of having a CP. Nowadays, we're using DHCP to configure the lower levels, like IP. For CWMP,
can you repeat, please?
Nowadays, we're using a lot of DHCP to configure the CP to be able to talk in higher protocols. If I understood CWMP the right way, it's a layer 7 protocol. So you need to have the IP communication given before.
Yes.
So the idea is still that you use DHCP on PPPoE connections, or will it replace DHCP and PPPoE over time?
Well, it depends on ISP, but you have to have working IP connection either via DHCP or PPP, mm-hmm. and your ACS will have to know somehow which user is which one, okay, to provision the correct information. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
So the whole workflow up to the connection of the CPE itself will not change?
No, no. Ah, this okay. is add-on to provision the credentials for the services.
For higher level services
yes.
than just
yes.
internet connection. Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
First one is it possible to easily see what commands the ISP sends to my Fritzbox?
Yes. Well, I could do it.
I mean how.
Well, you can do it. Even though it uses HTTPS, you can put the. You can breach. You could breach. I'm talking when ACS is using HTTPS, okay? You could breach this management interface to the Nginx proxy, okay? And that way filter out the HTTPS stuff to actually see what's happening in the messages.
Okay, and the second question is, how does the provisioning work if there are no configuration locally available? No network connection initially there.
Well, you have to have a network connection for this to work. This is why FreeCWMP connects, and it's defined in documentation that if your management IP changes, you have to connect back to the ACS so it knows your new address.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, one more question. Is it possible for commercial routers to define what commands you want to the ISP to have, or what access rights you want the ISP to have?
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
Is it possible for commercial routers to define what access rights you want the ISP to grant and what not?
Commercial, for example, I'm not very happy with commercial TR069 clients, okay? They are very limited, and you can change everything that you should by the documentation. So they often give you parameters that you actually need, and you verify that they are working. And in 99% of the time, you use only that parameters. So when you integrate new CP into the network, you verify parameters which you need, and if it's working, then okay.
Mm-hmm. But could it be a potential security breach that provider could change your Wi-Fi password or stuff like that?
Well, it's defined in the standard.
And okay, so you
they can flush the box, you know.
Okay. Yeah, okay, but so Wi-Fi happen. Settings. Are not the most harmful thing that you could do, okay?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so thank you.
Thanks for your work.
Okay.
I have another question. How do you get to eavesdrop on a DSL connection if you have a CPE which only has a WAN port? Which doesn't support Ethernet, but which only supports ADSL or VDSL or stuff like that. So how can you eavesdrop on such a connection without too expensive hardware?
You can put OpenWRT router and bridge this management connection to your free CVMP running on your PC and start sniffing and dumping traffic.
Yes, but you don't always have a router where you are able to flash VRT or any other sensible firmware on the device, and you may still want to eavesdrop on the TR69 traffic or
so,
stuff like
so
that.
So is here the question, how would you eavesdrop on some production router?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you would have to position yourself somewhere in the network where the data goes through. Okay.
Yeah, but my question was, are you aware of any cheap hardware which makes this possible? Because some stuff like an ADSL switch, which has multiple ports where you can listen on them, which traffic goes through.
I'm not sure that I understand, but if you can put, if you own the copper line, you can put your device there, and you don't need to bother about this production device, okay?
Yeah.
You can just send inform request to the ACS with the spoofed data,
yeah.
Okay? With the data this OE manufacturer software version, you just send this data from the production CP and that's it. Okay,
so you just emulate it basically in software?
Yes. Okay. You can do all the configuration in, you can change all the values you need, yeah, in free CVMP config file.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
Well, if nobody else has questions, I have one left. Oh, there is one.
Hi. Any roadmap of where you see free CMP going?
In the future, I think it will be used. It's a good protocol, but you have to make it secure. I mean, you have to filter some stuff from CPEs, but it's a good protocol for that.
Yeah, but beyond the TR69 protocol, I mean, a lot of us want to manage our own data and our own control on the box that the ISP gives us, but there's always the perspective of what the ISP has control of. But it would be nice that there's an interface that, you know, us like have access to a customer portal that can manage our own. What data?
I'm sorry, I did not understand.
Maybe I'll make it offline. It's more complicated.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So I have a question. Now, what this boils down to is that the ISP can basically install any software on your router, which all your data goes through.
Yes.
Now, this is obviously something that's extremely sexy for law enforcement or whatever spooks you have out there.
Okay.
Are you aware of any activities that have already used this feature, so that they install Trojan horses on routers? So the law enforcement agencies, do you know about any kind of law for that kind of thing?
I don't know. Software installing and that stuff is defined in TR-157, okay? And I don't know any production device that has implemented this.
You mean this isn't actually implemented, so they don't do remote updates yet?
Well, if you can position yourself in this point in the network, then this is not something you are interested in, because you can get all this data from the standard TR-069 parameters. So, for example, you can see how many clients are in your LAN, what are their MAC addresses, okay, and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but imagine I want to snoop on SSL connections, and I would want to install an HTTPS proxy on that box. I mean, this is something that I think law enforcement agencies would love to do, and I think that would be interesting. But you're not aware of anything like that.
No, but you have commercial sniffing boxes that you have to use, so. There is no need to put that into the CP.
Any more questions? Okay, then let's thank our speaker again for making us aware of